Jump in, lock in, strap in. It's the Fantasy Domination Podcast.
All right, fantasy football fanatics, fantasy football freaks, it is another episode of the Fantasy Domination Podcast. I am your host, the coach, and I am here with my buddy, a man who's not thinking about playoffs because he's thinking about divorce payoffs. It's Rusty. Rusty, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I was doing quite all right until you cut deep with that one, coach. I'm not saying it was false, but... anyway, let's talk about some things that are fun to talk about, not my many ex-wives and alimony payments. We are, you know what time, it's the greatest time of the year, coach. You know why?
Why is that?
Fantasy playoffs, baby. And if you're good playoffs. And you're lucky, mostly good like us, you aren't doing anything this week.
Absolutely. If you're in a league that has buys, yeah, hopefully you're sitting pretty today. You're sitting back, letting other people suffer through... oh, I don't know, the guy who's randomly playing against Mitch Trubisky this week. Oh, for my. You, man. Because you're getting a number hung up on you, and it ain't going to be pretty.
Of course, if you were relying on Mitch Trubisky, the theory is that you didn't get this far in the first place. But can you imagine that sixth seed who had no other choice but to go with Mitch Trubisky for whatever reason and is all of a sudden going to potentially pull an upset on the three seed because of this? Oh my goodness, that this game can be cruel sometimes.
Yep, fantasy football is a cruel but delightful mistress, and that's why we play it.
That's what usually gets me into trouble.
Let's take a quick moment here to celebrate another spectacular Dallas Cowboys failure. It's not over yet. I maybe have to change my tune at the end, you know, by the end of this episode. But we're sitting here with 2 minutes to go, and the Cowboys have choked away another game.
And it warms my heart to see it, just because I'm not a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. They're overhyped this year. They're overhyped every year. But, you know, oh, it's the Cowboys. They're America's team. Yeah, they're America's failure right now.
All right, so Rusty, I'm gonna float something out to you here.
All right, then, coach.
All right, take the Dallas Cowboys roster, okay? Mm-hmm. Take Dak, take Zeke, take Amari, take Leighton Vander Esch, take all those guys. Put them on the Jacksonville Jaguars. So basically, let's take away the star. Mm. How much does anybody really care about this roster?
Well, to be fair, nobody cares about anything in Jacksonville, but...
all right, fine. Put him in San Diego. Take away the star, put the lightning bolt. Is this team anything more than a footnote in, you know, in SportsCenter?
No, they probably would not be, because they are a mediocre football team and have been mediocre for quite some time. They don't deserve it. Yeah, you put them in another city, and... They are a sub 500 football team, and that's all they are.
Yeah, it's a team that lives off reputation. It's been what 25 years since they won a Super Bowl. That's a little ridiculous. What it reminds me of is a great line that Colin Cowherd had years ago when he was talking about the people who write the college football preview guides and who rank the scout, the recruiting classes. That his theory was that Notre Dame always finishes higher, because if you put Notre Dame higher, stupid Notre Dame fans will buy your books because they're like, hey, our team's ranked up high. Dallas is the professional version of Notre Dame. Except, it's all hype, all hat, no cattle is what we say down here in Dallas.
Yeah, except for... at least in the NFL, you got to earn everything. I mean, while the Cowboys get a lot of hype, it doesn't mean a lick of difference in the standings. Whereas, I don't know if I want to get started on Notre Dame, because it's just going to turn into another rusty rant about that school and that.
We will save
team.
That for the off season, because this is a professional fantasy football Thank podcast.
You. Yes, the Dallas Cowboys cannot have things gift wrapped to them on a silver platter for playing a crap ass schedule. Let's just leave it at that. Like Notre Dame does every single year until they choke it away.
Absolutely. And let's also point out, Allen Robinson continues to have this late season surge. We talked about guys who can carry you to the playoff victory when they kind of come out of nowhere or they hit their stride. Mm-hmm. Allen Robinson is that guy. If you've had him the last little while, he's putting up the kind of numbers that are going to get you into the playoffs and keep you in the playoffs.
I have him in one of my leagues that I picked him up on waivers. It was crazy. Just somebody did something stupid and I jumped in to capitalize. Another guy I have in that league who, and pay attention if you haven't been already, Dynasty players, Devontae Parker. What is going on there? He has been lighting it up.
All right. I'm going to give you one random bit of trivia here. Who is the 43rd all-time passing yardage leader in NFL history? 100 years of the NFL, who is sitting at number 43 all-time in passing yards?
I'm going to take this guess, and only because we're talking about the Dolphins. Is it Ryan Fitzpatrick?
It is Ryan Fitzpatrick. There is your random piece of trivia. 100 years of the NFL, Ryan Fitzpatrick is sitting in 43rd place in passing yards.
My goodness. That is an absolute disgrace. But good for him.
I mean, it is. It's also a testament to just being good enough to kick around on bad teams for a long time.
In an era where we pass the ball a lot.
Yeah. All right. Hey, you know what? Since we're doing this, I'm gonna give you a quiz here. Who has more career passing yards? Phil Sims, Steve Young, Troy Aikman, Kurt Warner, or Alex Smith?
Alex Smith.
Yep.
Because it makes no sense.
Yep, he does.
By about
700 yards more than Phil Sims, and the other guys are trailing behind there.
That's just... All right, I take that back. That's a disgrace.
Okay, oh, here's a fun one. I'll do one more little bit of trivia for you. Who has more career passing yards? Andy Dalton or Randall Cunningham?
Oh, Andy Dalton, I bet.
Andy Dalton has 600 more passing yards plus whatever he puts up this weekend. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's a big difference in eras.
Just a little bit.
All right. Sorry. One more.
This game is getting more and more depressing, Coach.
100 years of the NFL. 100 years of professional football in North America. Is Ryan Tannehill amongst the 100 greatest quarterbacks by passing yards alone?
Oh, no. Oh, I'll bet he is, and he shouldn't be.
He is sitting in 95th place all time with 22,000 passing yards. Do you want to guess who has 700 career passing yards more than Ryan Tannehill?
I know. I don't want to guess.
Legendary Roger Staubach.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. Roger Staubach, in 10 years, collected 22,000 passing yards. Ryan Tannehill is just a bit behind that. And by the end of this season, he will have surpassed the legendary Roger Staubach.
Man, they were throwing for 2,200 yards a season on average back then, 10 seasons.
Yep.
Man, that's just... Yeah, definitely different eras. My goodness. The record books have been skewed by this past happy era of the NFL. I mean, it's more exciting, but this is just a disgrace to the all-time great quarterbacks who are being passed by the Ryan Fitzpatricks and the Ryan Tannehills and Andy Daltons of the world. It hurts my soul.
Okay, one more.
What else could it possibly be? What other disgrace are you going to come up with now, Coach?
Who has more career passing yards? NFL Hall of Famers and legends Norm Van Brocklin and Otto Graham or Kirk Cousins?
Oh, gotta be Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins is roughly 50 yards behind Otto Graham.
Oh.
And slightly more than that behind Norm Van Brocklin.
All right, one more game, though. and he's going to pass those guys.
He is going. He'll pass those guys with one more quarter.
Well, I'm depressed. And here I was all happy about, you know, making the playoffs in all my leagues this year because we dominate. That's what we do. And then you got to remind me that old time football is being passed by. Well, can we talk about something less depressing now, Coach?
Yep. We've talked about the Cowboys blowing another Thursday night game.
But that's fun.
We talked about the all-time passing leaders and how statistics don't mean anything anymore. So, Rusty, what else do you want to talk about?
Well, on that happy note, well, we're in the playoffs now. Oh, you know, we did. I don't know what we're talking about. We talk about playoffs because we're always there because, you know, we dominate as always. But sometimes things just don't go your way. And, you know, you have a few key injuries to key players. A couple draft picks don't work out. Some guys, you maybe hold on to them a season too long. Every so often, you find yourself not in the playoffs. And as we always talk about on this show, on the Fantasy Domination Podcast, if you can't be first, be last. So if you find yourself in that middling situation, you know what you got to do. You got to sell out, and you got to make sure that the Cowboys are going to make this interesting. You got to make sure that you get yourself in that position for those better draft picks, or to, in our case, win our toilet bowl. So let's talk about that for a little bit, Coach, and let's talk about toilet bowl strategy, if you will.
Well, I like AIM for one.
Yes, AIM, but we're not really talking about that kind of toilet bowl here. I'm talking about that bottom of the league where some, and if your league doesn't do it, you really should do it, where you have some sort of tournament of those non-playoff teams with something on the line, whether it be a little bit of extra cash. In our alpha league, the winner of that tournament gets a higher draft pick. They could move up to the 101 depending where they finish during the season. It makes it, it keeps everybody engaged. And there's something on the line for everybody. So if you don't do this, you absolutely should. And put something on the line to keep people interested and not trying to tank during the year.
Yeah, that's a good pro tip. And it's one I definitely love. It's one of the reasons, I mean, one of many reasons, I have never had an interest in playing redraft leagues. Because, you know what?
Yeah.
If you get that bad run of luck, then suddenly, you know, 6 weeks into the season, you're done. Why do you even pay attention?
Mm-hmm.
So, A, Dynasty keeps you involved because you can look ahead to next year. But also, it gives you that incentive. If you give guys that incentive, then the end of the season can be exciting for everybody. So you're not just playing out the string. You're aiming. You know, I personally like doing some sort of draft pick advantage.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to put the first overall pick on the line for, you know, and have a mirror tournament for the non-playoff teams, great. You know, it gives guys something to shoot for. It also creates a different dynamic when you're looking at the end of the season, because if I'm a bad team, maybe I don't want to sell off that veteran wide receiver because he could be useful to me in a, you know, in a consolation round tournament.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do that, well, I might as well just get rid of him anyway. You know, send that guy over to a team that can give me some younger players or some sort of prospects and see what we can do from there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So if you're not doing that in your league, get that in your league. It'll make life better for everybody, especially all those teams that have to watch you in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Because you're in the playoffs. That was the implication.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
It's a concept that's so foreign to us because we dominate so much that it's hard for me to fathom being in that situation. But the rare time that I have, you gotta do it right.
And to be fair, sometimes you just want the challenge.
Yeah.
I've done that every now and then. It's like, you get a little bored, your team's getting a little bit older, it's time to, it's time to throw things out. And all right, I'm going to start trading off some veterans. I'm going to stock up on draft picks. I'm going to see what happens. It almost provides a new kind of challenge. How quickly can you rebuild that team?
That's next level challenge for the coach and Rusty.
When you're so successful that you have to create new challenges to keep it interesting.
Absolutely.
I believe that's why at least three of your marriages have ended, haven't they, Rusty?
Well, no comment, because there is still some pending litigation in certain cases. All right, well, yes, let's go. Before I say something that will cost me a lot more money, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to run down this week's run of games, the playoff edition, giving you the insights you need to go out there and dominate and move on to the next round in your league. We'll be right back. And we are back with the Fantasy Domination Podcast, episode 21. This is part two. This is the part of the show where we go through every single game on the docket. We're out of the buys now, and we're into the playoffs. This analysis is what you're going to need to help you dominate and move on to the next round. So, as we do every week, Coach, you ready? We're going to go through every game, and we're going to talk about the one thing that we're looking for from each game. So, let's start with 6-6 Indianapolis Colts.
I'm going to make a request before we get into it.
Oh.
Got to make this fast, because you see, I did a little plumbing work tonight. I had to replace a sink, and let's say the wife likes the handiwork around the house, so I got to wrap this up quickly.
Oh, so we
got to let's run through those games.
Got to do a little bit more, lay some more pipe, as it were. Wait, what? Uh-oh, that subsection of our audience just got perked up. Indianapolis at Tampa Bay. I would have liked this game a lot more if there were actually some decent players from Indianapolis in it. What I'm thinking, I don't know what to think of Jameis Winston, Coach. I just have no clue. I think he's turned it around, and Indianapolis is hanging in there, but I like this for Tampa Bay. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I mean, we said it last week. Jameis Winston is the second most exciting man in football. I don't want him anywhere near my fantasy rosters, but, I mean, he's going to score 300 points or 300 yards. He's going to make one of those wide receivers look outstanding, and he's going to turn the ball over three times. Mm-hmm. So
you almost know what you get at this point.
You know, and hopefully you're not relying on him, or at least if you are, that it, you know, he gets enough touchdowns and yards to offset the interceptions and fumbles, which are going to be there.
Mm-hmm. And on the other side of the ball, somebody call Mark Morrison, because it should be the return of the Mac. Marlon Mack should be back for the Indianapolis Colts. Too bad he's going against a pass funnel defense like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where they are probably just going to shut down the run and get roasted in the air, although I'm not really sure who's going to do that for Indianapolis. So welcome back, Marlon Mack, but maybe this isn't the week to start him. All right.
Yep.
This is the matchup that confuses us, because usually we say start your fantasy players against Miami and the Jets as two examples, except they're playing each other this week, and they're two not great football teams. I like the way Miami's been playing lately. I think Miami's going to take this one and look out for Devontae Parker. I have a feeling he's going to continue his solid run. I don't know about the Jets, though. But, I mean, this is a good matchup in theory for who's the guy? Oh, Sam Darnold on the Jets now. Maybe this will be – maybe it's one of those shootouts between two bad teams, Coach.
It's hard to say because, yeah, the Jets' defense has had good moments. They've had atrocious moments, but they've had some good moments. I definitely think start Parker, start Darnold, maybe Le'Veon Bell if you need a running back. I mean, he hasn't been good all season, so I don't know why he'd start this week. But if you've got nothing else, maybe. I mean, at least the matchup is favorable. I'm not sure if I'd really want to have to start anybody else. Maybe Fitzpatrick in a absolute desperation move, but generally, quarterbacks around the league are healthy and productive, so there's no real reason to be relying on Ryan Fitzpatrick.
All right. Could be the NFL game of the week, but not necessarily the fantasy game of the week. 10-2 San Francisco travels to 10-2 New Orleans. Oh, this one's good for home field advantage, but San Fran's got a pretty decent defense. Might be shutting down some of those New Orleans guys, but you got to start your Breezes and you got to start your Michael Thomases regardless. I think you have to.
Yeah.
Could be a low-scoring game, though, so you got to be careful.
It definitely could be. That said, yeah, you got – I mean, Michael Thomas is an absolute must-start.
Matchup proof.
I mean, at least on the plus side, it's in New Orleans. It's in the Dome, so take for that what you will. Drew Brees, You know, he's not the Drew Brees of old, but he's doing, you know, he can still get the ball there. I'd say, you know, the bigger issue is probably Alvin Kamara, you know, or Latavius Murray, if either of them are worth starting, and that's where you're going to have challenges. Flip to the other side. I mean, you know, flip a coin, which running back it's going to be this week. Last week it was Mostert. Could be Tevin Coleman. You know, could be the, you know, the ghost of Ricky Waters. I don't know. Somebody's going to run the ball for San Francisco.
You just don't like any. Oh, don't forget future NASCAR champion Jeff Wilson Jr.
Absolutely. Don't really love any of San Francisco's wide receivers for consistency. And then, of course, George Kittle is, I mean, he's as long as he's healthy, he's a start.
It's a freak and a stud. Okay. 3-8-1 Detroit travels to 8-4 Minnesota. Start your Vikings. Keep an eye on the Dalvin Cook situation because he says he's going to play, but if he was going to play, why did they keep him out of that close game last week like that? So keep an eye on that. Hopefully you cuffed Madison. I know the coach doesn't like cuff him. This is one of those Madison was one of those rare cases where I like the cuff strategy. And if you would do that, you'd be looking smart right now because hopefully they don't end up with a bigger split of touches. That's the worst case scenario, but keep an eye on that because I think Detroit is teetering on the brink and Minnesota should get right again and be ready to go this week. Start all your players. And as far as Detroit goes, maybe Galladay?
I mean, Galladay seems to get his regardless of who's throwing the ball. Kerryon Johnson's back. I would not touch him until you know he's reliable.
I don't think he can play till week 16, coach. I think he's back practicing, but he can't actually start until week 16.
Like I said, I've been doing some plumbing work, so I haven't been totally paying attention to the Detroit Lions depth chart and injury situation.
Only because I had him and I got rid of him and I was thinking about picking him up again, but I don't have the roster space to do it, and I'll probably eliminate that league by the time we get there. 4-8 Denver. Ugh. Travels to 8-4 Houston. Denver can sometimes pitch a decent defensive effort on you, but I don't know. We're in Houston, in the dome there. I think Houston's going to have an all right time of this.
Yeah, I think, you know, play all of your guys that you need to from Houston's.
We might see Drew Lock this week, coach.
Yeah, we're going to see Drew Lock. Cortland Sutton seems like he's a play every week guy. Mm-hmm. Phil Lindsay is a RB3 this season. I feel like, you know, if he has to be your RB2, you're probably not in the playoffs. And just go from there. I hope this game. It's not going to be a good one either way.
Hopefully you are not playing against any Green Bay Packers because they are facing the Washington Professional Football Team, and this is not going to be pretty.
I got a feeling Aaron Rodgers is going to deliver people some fantasy wins this week, unless it's one of those games where Aaron Jones finds the end zone four times.
Oh boy. That hasn't been happening as much lately. There's been a lot of the Aaron Rodgers show, so we'll see if that trend continues. Cincinnati travels to Cleveland. Cleveland, you are terrible. Freddie Kitchens, you are terrible. What the hell is going on there? But I think this is one of those games that's going to give Cleveland hope. They'll probably win this one. Maybe they'll get some... they'll get things going to Odell Beckham, assuming he, you know, maybe they're going to try and convince Beckham to stay in Cleveland because there's a boy who doesn't seem to want to be there anymore. And I don't know if I'd want to be there myself either. But your Landry's. Nick Chubb should carry it 25 times. Kareem Hunt will carry another 20 times. This is going to be a rout.
It absolutely should be. I mean, Cleveland's still a dumpster fire. It's a more interesting question to ponder. Who will be running Cleveland next year? You know, Mike McCarthy or Ron Rivera, because this is a team that has to go out and spend the money on a real coach. Those two guys are both going to be available. Both have the pedigree, both have their limitations, but they need to go out and get a real coach because, sorry, Freddie Kitchens, you ain't it.
Nope, absolutely not. Another potential NFL game of the week that may not be great for fantasy purposes, 10-2 Baltimore, 9-3 Buffalo. 9-3 Buffalo Bills? What? What did I just say, coach?
Yep. Well, I mean, we were in Buffalo there. Last week, or 2 weeks ago. We saw it firsthand. You know, this team, they're not great, but they're solid at everything. Mm-hmm. And as long, I mean, I don't think they're going to win this week, but by God, that city will self-destruct if the Bills win. There will be so much excitement that the city will just swallow itself in an orgy of delights.
And flaming tables. And Zubas. Well,
all the Zubas.
Uggs.
So, yeah. I mean, Buffalo's defense is pretty strong. You're still going to play Lamar. Yeah. I still think you got to play Ingram. I wouldn't I mean, Mark Andrews probably. I wouldn't touch anybody else. Mm-hmm. On the Bills' side, Singletary's on a nice roll. Josh Allen, he's not making mistakes.
Let's see what you're made of, yeah. Josh Allen, because this is going to be a big litmus test for you.
This is definitely a good prove-it game.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I mean, John Brown, if you have to, I wouldn't touch. I mean, Cole Beasley in desperation, but...
This doesn't feel like a great fantasy game to me. I mean, you've got some must-starts. I mean, you're not going to sit Lamar Jackson, but, I mean, he was able to, even in that mucky mess last week with San Francisco, he still delivered you a solid fantasy game. So I think he'll
It would not surprise me in the slightest if this ended up being like a 14-13 game.
Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't surprise me if either team
was the one with the 14.
Yeah. And all the rushing touchdowns are going to come from the quarterbacks. Here we go. 5-7 Carolina versus with the newly filed Ron Rivera traveling to face the 3-9 Atlanta Falcons. This could be one of those. This might be one of those shootout games. Neither team is playing exceptional defense right now. It may be one of those good for fantasy, bad for real football type of games.
Absolutely. We'll have to see how the Carolina Panthers respond to getting their coach fired. Mm-hmm. But they've got the tools to do it and a lousy Atlanta defense. I mean, looks like Julio's on track to play. I would definitely like to see this one. Both teams getting into the high 20s or 30s. This has got fantasy gold written all over it. Mm. Plus, Austin Hooper's back this week. So,
oh man,
you know, Matt Ryan's got all his toys back. This could be a shootout.
Could be. 2-4-8 teams do battle. The San Diego Chargers travel east to face the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, sure. are we going to get Gardner Minshew is what I need to know, because that offense seemed to work a lot better when Minshew was playing in that game.
Yeah, I think they've gone back to Minshew because at this point, what do you have to lose? Mm-hmm. You know, Minshew was efficient with a fairly bad offense, and he wasn't costing them games.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Foles, I think you could say he was inefficient, and they might not have won, but he was not winning any games for them, so... You know, at this point, you got to ride Minshew, maybe decide in the offseason if you want to pursue somebody else or if you're going to give Minshew another year and then swing back around at the 2021 quarterbacking class.
All right. Yeah, and talk about Philip Rivers potentially being benched if things don't go well for the Chargers over the next game or two. I just can't fathom it. Philip Rivers has always been that solid guy who you could all, to me, he's always been one of those dependable guys. So kind of strange, but I hope it doesn't happen because I like him.
I feel like out of respect, they won't bench him. And it's not like they have a hotshot rookie there. They have Tyrod Taylor.
Mm.
So... You know, I mean, Tyrod can play, but, you know, you don't need to see what he can do. So, you know, it's not like the Eli situation where they pushed Eli aside because they had a top draft pick that they wanted to get in there. This is just, let Phil play out the string. I mean, maybe Phil knows what he's doing after this season, if this is the end or if he's coming back. I don't know. But I don't think... For a franchise that has nothing else going for it, the last thing they can justify is benching Phil Rivers.
Mm-hmm. Next game, 6-6, Oakland Raiders are hosting the 7-5 team that puts me to sleep. I'm going to let you say their name. I'm going to plug my ears so I don't go off and snooze on us here.
The Tennessee Titans, who are shockingly in playoff contention, and if they had started Ryan Tannehill from the beginning of the year... They might actually be in the playoffs right now.
Mm.
They're a weird team. The passing game is still not anything you want to rely on. They've got two wonderfully talented wide receivers that are barely worth rostering for their inconsistency. And Derrick Henry is just a beast.
He's just chugging
it
along.
Let's talk about Dallas tonight, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Zeke Elliott got off to a hot start, got into the end zone. Second half, they don't touch him. In contrast, win or lose, Tennessee rides Derrick Henry, and he gets stronger as the game goes on.
Mm-hmm.
He rips off those 70-yarders in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Right now, Derrick Henry is an absolute must-play. You know, even though he doesn't do much in PPR, still, you got to get him in there because there's at least like a 48% chance he's going to bust off a long one.
Yeah, that's crazy to talk about. This one's interesting. 8-4 Kansas City, looking for revenge, going to 10-2 New England. New England is not playing very well at all right now on either side of the ball. So, I don't know. This one feels like a KC victory. Normally, I'd be saying, oh, man, if I have some Kansas City cheap players, I don't know if I'd – it's a bad week to get them in the playoffs to go to New England. New England's not good. There's just something going on there right now.
Well, New England has no offense is what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. You know, they've basically got Tom Brady, a little bit of Edelman, a little bit of James White, but that's it. You know, they weren't able to replace Rob Gronkowski. And I don't even mean try to replace Rob Gronkowski, but bring in somebody who can give you 60% of Rob Gronkowski. They haven't been able to do that.
Yeah.
The Antonio Brown experiment fizzled. Mohamed Sanu has not delivered in a meaningful way. N'Keal Harry's been hurt and ineffective. They just don't have what it takes. And so, you know, Brady... I mean, we talked about Brady being a miracle worker. He's not doing that this year because he just doesn't have what's around him. And they are, I mean, their defense has been stellar. Stephon Gilmore is definitely worthy of league MVP consideration for what he's been able to do. I mean, if they have just a passable offense, they can still pull off games most weeks. But this is a rickety-looking team going into the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. Quickly to other games because I think I hear your wife calling. Pittsburgh 7-5 at Arizona 3-8-1. I feel this is gonna be a low scoring game. I don't know why. I think Pittsburgh would be okay, but I mean, I don't know. They're still a little bit hurt. Arizona. I wonder if they're gonna get things going against Pittsburgh or not. I have a bad feeling about this one, Coach.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it either. Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh's a team that's going to win those 14-13 games because they can't do much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And Arizona, I mean, Murray's been solid, quietly good from a fantasy perspective, but, you know, they're not good enough.
No.
So, yeah. I mean, this is going to be a bad game to watch, let alone put fantasy value into.
Sneaky good game of the week. 10-2 Seattle goes to the Los Angeles Rams, a 7-5. Los Angeles seems to want to go to Gurley more, so maybe we'll see him reestablish himself. Seattle isn't the dominant defense that we were used to seeing them from the last few years, but that offense is chugging along very nicely. Russ Wilson, also a league MVP candidate right now. This one feels like a sneaky shootout, and maybe it shouldn't be feel like a sneaky shootout. It could just be, if you got players in this game, you got to start them.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see Seattle's going to have to try and control the clock. That could mean a lot of Carson and a lot of Penny. Russell pulling out some magic where he can. Because, I mean, we've seen Goff can light it up when he has the opportunity. He can stink it up.
Mm-hmm.
And Seattle has not been stellar defensively. They've been good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, I think you're right. This is a all hands on deck. Get all your guys in there. I would play, if you had to, play Rashad Penny, even though he's the number two guy, because he's getting his. And just, yeah, load up, because you're right. This, I don't even think this is going to be the sneaky good. I think this is going to be, much like last week when Minnesota and Seattle played, this is just going to be a hell of a game. And it might be, with the amount of fantasy players in this, it could be one of those games that decides a lot of fantasy leagues this week.
I think you're right. One game that might not is the Monday nighter, 2-10 New York Giants. Ugh. Oh, no. We'll get to it in a second, Coach. Believe me. Traveling to Philadelphia to face the 5-1 Eagles. And go ahead, Coach.
And sorry, just to clarify, who's playing quarterback for the Giants this week?
That would be Eli Manning.
That would be two-time Super Bowl champion. The only man until Nick Foles to defeat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Or maybe not. I don't know. The only guy to defeat them twice. Eli Manning with the career comeback.
This is not going to end well.
No. All right. Here's the prediction, though. This is going to be the best fantasy week of the season for you to play Saquon Barkley, because he's going to catch about 15 passes each for 3 yards. But that is going to be their offense is, oh, there's no one to throw to. I'm going to dump it off to Saquon. We haven't seen that as much with Daniel Jones because he's trusted his own legs and his own arm. Eli probably doesn't have that. So Saquon is in line for a big PPR blast.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's it for this this week's slate of games. Good luck. With our help, we want you to get up there and dominate. So good luck in making it to the next round, and we will see you next week. In the meantime, though, you know, if you're sweating some of those decisions, what you should do to get ready for your games this week, Coach, tell them where they can find us so we can help them dominate even more.
All right, hit us up at the FD Pod on Twitter. Email us at fantasydominationpodcast@gmail.com, or just yell really loud.
Woo, love it. All right, get out there and dominate, folks. And as always, this has been a production of Harpoon Media. Good luck this week. We'll see you next week for your semifinal setup.
Oh, thank you.